We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is a week of purple healing, purple therapy that I am very familiar with. I've been a purple therapist here for about 28 years now. We win Super Bowls around here, not lately, and we feel like we're a good franchise, but we've been happy twice and sad the other 26 times. So as things go, we are going to we're going to soothe our souls with some soup. And around here, they do chicken soup for the soul, Canfield, all that stuff. We do crab soup around here. Next week, we're going to be doing a step up and a good turn for our friends at the Maryland Food Bank. It is the coldest, hungriest week of the year. It's Valentine's week. It's Super Bowl week. For the excessive, who are going to spend 10 grand to go to Vegas if the Ravens turned it around and won on Sunday. We're going to be doing five consecutive days of marathon live. Yes, I said live radio for the first time. From 9 until 5, beginning on Monday, we start the party at Fadley's. Tuesday, we're going to be at Costas. Wednesday, at Coco's. I'm wearing my Coco's shirt, and they're down this week. They're away, so when Marcella gets back on, you can't have Coco's crab cakes this week. Like Chick-fil-A on Sunday, can't have it. They're shut down. So hang in there. We'll be back next Wednesday at Coco's. Thursday, we'll be at State Fair. And Friday, this guy will be joining us at Pappas in Cockeysville. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, Window Nation, Jiffy Lube. We are indebted to our sponsors, our partners. This guy helps us hold BaltimorePositive.com together, along with Jessica Vallis and Arford Designs. I have a great team. He's at Web Connection. He is our chief digital officer. And chief purple fan, along with Leonard and Dennis and everybody, Wendy, everybody else around here who loves the Ravens and is first things first, Mike Rosenfeld. How are you? How are you doing? How are the boys? I mean, I know you and the family, this is a tough week, or it's a tough week for everybody in Baltimore this week.
Yeah, I'm probably doing as well or poorly as most of your listeners. I flew one of my oldest son in from Chicago. His fiance went to we all went to the game. My wife, my oldest son, and his fiance, which was her second football experience. And as everyone else was really excited, felt the fans showed up and the vibe was good. Not a lot of red. I was really worried if the Bills won, you know, what that would have done to the stadium, but it was maybe.
Turns out the Chiefs are bored with winning, right? Like, literally, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was my philosophy, and it's not as easy to hop in a car if you weren't going to fly, and flying is easy because it's a Southwest flight. But
I flew last week in and out of town, and I saw Lions fans everywhere. Yeah.
Well, see, I had a challenge that many didn't. My wife's from Detroit. Detroit's my second home. I maintain an office in Detroit. I love the people of Detroit, and I know the torture that they've been through with the Lions, and I was rooting for them, but then had the realization that what if we win and they win? That's going to be tough because someone's going to have bragging rights for life. You know, I would definitely not want to be on the losing end of that.
I always worried about a Ravens Eagles or Ravens, you know, Redskins, Commanders, whatever they're going to be called.
Yeah, so as it turns out, both teams lost. They lost in a much worse way, in my opinion, than we did, although we lost in not a great way. Proud of the team, proud of the defense, I think, did their job. Just the offense was concerning, and we've seen it before. I've seen elements of that before. It was uncomfortable. And all I kept thinking of is there's going to be a lot of commentary for you, you know, throughout the year of, you know, incomplete passes, you know, passing into triple coverage, even though it was a penalty in the end zone, just not a good pass, and passes over heads on screen passes, and having temper tantrums and throwing helmets and just stuff we don't need. And this team, I think everyone knows.
If you can see the throwing a helmet's a bad idea, and I can throw it, see, and we could say that Zay Flowers slicing his hand open on the bench in anger after he made a bad play, and that headbutting Travis Kelce and calling him a bitch, which my television view gave me. The Roquan Smith thing at the line of scrimmage, bashing the guard like to try to get a 5-yard penalty. I there's just was just along the lines of all of it. Flowers taunting the guy and dropping the ball and pushing him off, and like I the lack of discipline was glaring, and especially if they weren't your team. And you know, John didn't have biblical phrases to begin his post game with. In the end, if you watched it from the outside, you'd say that's a mess. If you just helicoptered in and watched the team play, you'd say they kind of lost their cool. And I wrote my column this week. I think that was sort of the gig. I think that's the head game that Andy Reid believes John's a hothead, worked with him. Spagnuolo's best friends with John, and Dave Tobe knows John Harbaugh exceedingly well, special teams coach. I think they thought big crowd, crazy people, place is going to be a hellhole. Get chippy with them. Get 15 yards. Get them mad, angry. And Kelsey was laughing in their face. Like it was like a hockey taunt. You know what I mean? Like it reminded me of that sort of, you're goons. You want to be goons. We'll do something that'll turn you into a goon. You know, you'll be the one that throws the punch. You'll be the one that gets the extra 2 minutes in the box. We'll score the goal. We'll beat you. And it reminded me of hockey a little bit, the head game of the pregame skate and like all of that. If I were writing Arrowhead Rain or whatever the hell it'll be called if they win again, I would think that there was some serious coaching going on that wasn't accidental, that they came in and started throwing Justin Tucker's tee around early on,
right?
You know, which they did.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's something to what you said. I think the neutral people watching the game would say that the Ravens lacked discipline more than the Chiefs did, for sure. I think that there were, I mean, we all have a bias, but I think there were some penalties that, you know, oftentimes are not called penalties, but you still got to.
You definitely have some bias if you believe that. I watched the game pretty neutrally, and I don't think anybody should have any complaint about the officiating being like the reason they lost. The reason they lost is Zay Flowers dropped the ball at the end zone. Lamar threw an awful pick, and they couldn't control themselves when they needed to. And quite frankly, they had an awful game plan. They ran the ball 6 times. I mean, like, and when Lamar needed the run at the end and had the sticks in front of him, he chose 4th down. Instead of just walking forward to the sticks and getting a first down, the Chiefs were in positive plays the entire game, and certainly the entire first half. They were in positive plays that gave them a chance to win a road game against a team that was more talented, is what everybody said. I don't know. If you had Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes is better than Lamar Jackson, again, still. And until that changes, That is the narrative. The narrative is we don't have the best quarterback. I mean, that's true. He's exciting. He's lovely. He's wonderful. He's Superman, but he's not the best quarterback. He's not.
Well, I agree with that. And I agreed with that going in. I still think we had the better, more talented team all the way around. I do think we were outcoached. I don't understand. I mean, my son kept saying to me, they only ran Gus 3 times. The first run was for 15 yards. What is going on? This is the 28th ranked team in rush defense. What is happening here? And I didn't have an answer. I don't think any of us have an answer. It was just uncomfortable, and it was familiar. It felt familiar. It felt like it was too big of a moment for some of the players.
It's a game of down and distance for me, Mike. You know, like, and I learned that really in 2019. I said that to Luke. I said I wrote 2 books on football and championships, and I didn't really feel the game of down and distance and the way it was played until Roman got here. And the entire game was, it is first down. We want to be in the best second down position we can be in. Let's get as many yards we can get on first down. What's our play? It's going to get us 6, 7, 8 yards. They were in 2nd and 2, 2nd and 1, and they operate. You know, Lamar could throw the ball from there, short passes, down the field, 12, 14, 16 play drives, unless Zay Flowers, you know, unless Lamar could break your ankles and run 71 yards, which he could do. But All of that seemed to be in play most of the year in regard to their running game and what they were willing to do. It was an outlier game plan for them, I think. And that's the part of it that kind of shocked me, is that they appeared to want to do things differently than where they had success all year long.
Yeah, they didn't play their bread and butter. It looked like a different game plan. It looked totally different. Also, I'm struck by, just throughout the season, any long passes by Lamar are just not, there's no dimes. He's really good on the intermediate pass, typically the short pass, but the touch on the long pass, I mean, there was definitely some plays out there with receivers just outstretched arms and just 3 yards beyond, just not there. That last play by Mahomes on the last, with a blitz and just leaning back and throwing the ball, that was just a dagger of dagger proportions, you know, to go to the 2 minute drill when the stadium emptied. It was tough. It was tough.
Well, you believed you could win the game the whole game. I believed, I believed, like, all right, you know, it's a drive, it's a play, it's a defense, it's a batted ball, it's something that gets Mahomes off his game. And that's a whole lot easier said than done when he's got the lead and he's got the ball.
Yeah, I hear you. And like I said, I feel like giving up 17 points to that offense, you know, they came out, they scored on their first drive. So did Miami when we played Miami. I mean, those are two teams that choreographed their opening drives to a T and executed and scored. And after that score, I'm like, I said to my son, because it looked so easy, I said, we've been here before. I said, we're not getting shut out. You know, and we weren't shut out, and we answered, and it's 7-7. I'm like, okay, let's see where we're at. I was surprised that Kelce was as active as he was, because he hadn't been really, but they're going to him. I mean, it's crunch time, and you know, they're going to him. And look, it was good vibe most of the game. The fans were into it. You know, like I said, I think the fans did their part. I think the defense did their part. I just think the offense came up short. And I didn't know until you said it that he hit his hand. He slapped the bench or whatever and cut his hand open. Was he not able to go
Evan
back
Washburn
to the
reported that during the game. I mean, he reported it, and my wife was kind of talking, and which is sort of severely restricted in my presence during football games. So it drives me a little. So, and I'm saying, so, hold. And Jim Nantz said back to Evan Washburn, so let me get this straight. He cut his hand by, like, I just want to make sure, because I don't think Jim Nantz heard it right, because Flowers was bleeding and he held up his hand. It was just gushing blood. And I'm like, did he get hit on the hand when he put the ball across? And that's what I thought. And that's apparently what Jim Nantz thought. And Jim Nantz was like, hold on. Tony Romo was like, come on, you got to have better self-discipline than that. Can't be doing that on the bench. What's wrong with you? But there is going to be a long off season and in season of the perception of team discipline. Composure was the word. John didn't want to hear that. I mean, John doesn't have any composure himself. He spent 3 minutes up on the podium and couldn't compose himself, you know, enough to give straight answers. So, you know, the composure may come afterward, but they were not composed, and that will now be their thing. Trust me, Mike, played a lot of hockey, covered a lot of hockey. I know the head games. Baseball, I'm going to throw at your head. We're going to, like, all of that. Once you're thought to be somebody that you can set off their personality in a way that is not, you know, but Tony Romo kept saying this during the broadcast. Lamar's got to quiet his mind. Lamar's got to quiet his mind. This is a quarterback who lost every big game there was to lose, right? I mean, Romo would be the first to admit, like, he didn't win the big one, right? But he played in a lot of these games. And I love when the insight's insightful. And he said he's got to quiet his mind. And I thought, I don't really know if he knows how to do that in this circumstance. I don't know that he's ever had to do that. I don't. And when it's been like this, I don't like what I've seen. And people are like, you just don't like him because he's this or that, right? Whatever. I've been called a racist for crying out. I don't like anyone that pounds the ground like they're playing Pop Warner football. And I think that should cease. That should halt. It should have been halted by his father and mother when he was 12, because it's not good. It's not a good look. It's not a good optic. It's not a leadership optic. You would say the same thing about anywhere you work, that if you're pounding the table and like losing your mind and you're the leader, that's the kind of department you'll have. And I think that that's a, I'm 55 years old. That's where I am.
I don't know how anyone would say it's racist. I'm not sure that this is a great analogy.
No, anytime I've been Lamar questioning Lamar, that has been, it's always, you don't like Lamar. No, I've been around Lamar. Lamar's a really nice guy. He's fine. Everybody loves him. He's good. This is something he's needed to work on from the beginning, as much as he's needed to work on throwing the ball better. And they would dispute it. He throws the ball great. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. No, he throws the ball pretty good. Yeah. You know, his special skill is his speed and the fact that he has three skills, quite frankly. He has the entire package of robo quarterback. Now it's just how to use it and when to use it and when not to be pounding and throwing your helmet. I mean, throwing helmets is unacceptable. No matter how much money you make, no matter who you are, throwing helmets is not the way we teach the game. At Rosedale, little Pop Warner, we didn't teach it that way. You know what I mean? Literally.
Yeah, I for sure. And it's a sign to the other team that they're potentially can get in your head and
easily unglued.
Yes. And I for sure see that. You know, you're not, you look at, like I was thinking about Philip Rivers when he used to play and he was fiery and, you know, he tried to get into people's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was trash talk. Brett Favre, same thing.
Yeah. But I don't like when Lamar, when something doesn't go and he grabs his receivers and you see him being really animated. But oftentimes I'm like, was that the receiver's fault or did you just throw a bad pass or make a bad
decision?
Well,
Joe Flacco threw a lot of interceptions around here, right? How many do we know? And did Joe ever in the post game say, I thought he was going to go in, but he went out and practice. We practiced it as in, and I threw it in. And he went out and we got picked and I was a pick six and I planked and we got our ass kicked. Joe would never do that, right? But Joe would also never go over to a player and say, WTF, right? I had Joe on last week. By the way, last week, this is a little news for you. Tell everybody what you do at Web Connection so I can brag about last week. Not brag about it, but just state facts. I mean, I'm just giving you facts that we had the highest traffic we've ever had in the history of Baltimore Positive last week. So I would let you know that.
That's awesome. Good for you. I know you're working. We're working hard. You're working hard. We're fractional chief digital officers. What that means is you have a small, mid-sized company. You see your competitors, large and small, kicking your tail online, whether it's on Google or their ratings or their social media or their website. You have no leadership in-house. You have no idea what to do to compete, and you can't afford a full-time chief digital officer. People hire us as an affordable, fractional chief digital officers to help create the strategy and execute on it. So I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to explain what we do.
Well, the reason I even threw that in is I had record traffic last week. Joe Flacco's piece apparently just caught fire on the internet, right? Like, so tens of thousands of people have watched my sit down with Joe Flacco last week. And obviously I have a relationship with Joe and a lot of blood on the bricks with Joe. Joe's been in my home. I've been in Joe's home, right? So, you know, we know each other. And I've seen him do these things with Bleacher Report and this and that and Joe's hobos, and he puts his little thing on and shaves up nice. I said to him, you look so good. You know, the lighting on you, you look perfect. And he laughs at me and, you know, MFs. And, you know, we talk like Dundalk Jersey guys would talk. And in the piece, he talked about the fact that he got a lot of manure. He said the S word. He said, I took a lot of shit for, you know, being unemotional and not, he said, and he said this to me when I was writing the book 11 years ago. My father taught me that's the way you play. You're not a crybaby. You don't yell at the officials. You don't yell at your teammates ever, ever, ever. You don't backtalk your coaches. You don't show anybody up ever. You don't show people up. That's what we called it on the, like, so I love his father. Steve and I have been texting back and forth back when the Cleveland thing was going well, you know, all of 3 weeks ago. It was a long time ago, 3 weeks ago. The Cleveland thing was going good for Joe. But Joe came on last week and talked about the stigma of the fans saying he didn't care enough and this and that. This is the opposite. This is too much, right? Like, this is somewhere in there you can compete, be angry, be all of that without having to be demonstrative because it does – bring into question your leadership when you're losing. It brings it into question, whether it should be or shouldn't, it does.
It's beyond that. We all know. Let's just take 0.01% of your audience probably was ever in a position to play professional sports, but we all probably played sports someday in our lives. So let's take sports out of it. Let's just talk about work and where we work, and we work as a team, and that there's that person or people who are just high anxiety, really ratcheted up, create bad vibes, and that stuff's contagious. It's you feel it, and it affects you whether you want it to or not. And I'm not at all suggesting, I think moving on from Joe and going to Lamar was not the right move. I think it was the right move. But one thing you have to say about Joe is what you just said, which was cool Joe. When you're playing a sport at the highest level, and you have the quarterback, which is the captain, not the literal with the C on it, although they often are, but leader of the offense. You need a guy who's just steady and doesn't show you that they're freaking out or that they're having a meltdown. Meltdowns are contagious. So too is calm. We're going to do this. We're going to pull through it. I'm trying to think. The only time I saw Joe lose his mind, and I'm sure I'm missing one, but the one that's comes, sticks out in me. It could have been his rookie year where he did a pick six at the end zone. And we were about to score, and he was the last guy running to try to tackle the guy. And he missed it. And he was probably more embarrassed. He was on his stomach. I was at the game and he pounded the ground in just frustration. Like, what did I do? That's all I can remember of him showing emotion, even at that
And he
level. And by
probably
the
was
way,
pissed off afterward. And you know what he always said to me? And this is a tribute to Joe. He'd say, my brothers and sisters would make fun of me if I acted that way. He said, I didn't want to give my brothers and sisters a chance to make fun of me. That's literally, that's in my book. I mean, I remember him saying that to me over iced tea. He said, I couldn't, even in high school, I wasn't going to come home because my dad would have stirred up my brothers and sisters to make sure that I wasn't too full of myself. Right? Like literally, that would be how he would. And I'm not saying Joe needs to be Lamar. Lamar's Lamar. That's fine. But like the team and taking cues and how the team lost its composure. This wasn't about Lamar. This is about all of it, from Zay Flowers to Clowney to Roquan to where's the leadership to where's the coaching. There was no finger pointing in the aftermath. That's the worst. The finger pointing, like, that's outside the bounds of anything Harbaugh would accept. Finger pointing, he would not go for that at all. But he's allowed the rest of this. And I've definitely heard some people saying you got a podcast and you pound on your chest when you're doing well, Marlon Humphrey, but where are you when the ball goes over your head? And like they threw me out. I've been in that locker room for my whole life. It's what I do. It's how I feed my family. I'm never going to let that go. But this part of the accountability of throwing people like me out is that they had a lot of empty seats this year. The business could be doing a lot better in regard to their brand and selling locally. And, accountability across the board for the empty seats, for the $600 million they've taken, for an owner who hasn't spoken to the media in almost a decade, like literally out in front of it since Ray, honoring Ray Rice and nobody there to ask a question as to how it happened. Like there's state-run media that half the press conferences are people are under their employee. Like just all of the perception of all of it, it really gets brought into question when you can't ask questions. And they lose in this fashion at the end of the year. And it's unfortunate. That's all. And it's unfortunate that this they're gonna have to pound this until the end. And as I said, they're gonna have to beat Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Herbert. Harbaugh's gonna have to beat his brother now, right? Like all of that starts over at 0-0 again. They're gonna be a diminished team next year, in theory. In theory, with Queen and what they're going to have to give Matt Ibike in order to keep him and Ronnie Stanley and wherever they are with their problems, they will not be as well constructed because of money as they were this year. And they're going to have to do this. And the notion that they're ever going to do it on the road, I see these other teams that Mahomes just beat Josh Allen in Buffalo and Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, both of them relatively, I won't say handily, but outclassed them the whole way, that's what we have to think about for 11 and a half months now, is that if everything goes perfect and you're the two seed, you're probably still going to have to go to Kansas City or go to Buffalo or go somewhere else. And if you're the one seed, you still better handle your business. Because I'm not sure they would have made it through Josh Allen last week at Buffalo come this way, and Miami wet the bed and things moved a different way. They didn't look great against Houston, and they looked bad against Kansas City when it mattered. And that's going to be the takeaway forever from the season, in the same way when you lose in 2006. Like, they never get a chance to correct it. Now, Lamar can go win a couple of big games next January, but until he does, pounding the sand and throwing helmets and throwing picks and getting the ball stripped, that's going to be, he's going to have to live with that for 11. And it eats at him. I know it does. And it'll probably make him better, but it has to make him better. He has to get better.
I want to make it clear. Guy's an exceptional talent. He earned the MVP award, in my opinion. I don't get a vote. He is not a running back. He is a quarterback that has elite running skills and needs to work on his deep ball to be considered one of the higher end passing quarterbacks. But at most, he's got to grow up. He's got to mature. He's got to handle adversity better. He's got,
well, adversity never came. He got paid. He stayed healthy. They won. They won some more. They almost won and lost, and it pissed him off for a couple of days, and they came back and won next week. Then they won, and he's the greatest, and he's the MVP, and they're boat racing the 49ers on Christmas night. I mean, like, adversity came fast and hard when Patrick Mahomes got off the bus.
I'm just thinking, and we didn't really play from, I think that was the thing about the Ravens. We didn't have a lot of games that we were losing and had to come from behind. The ones I can think of were yesterday, the Browns game that we lost, where we had the ball and we're in a position to get a first down and close.
Like,
the
they
game.
Had a lead at the 2 minute warning in every single game they played.
Right. Okay.
They were not behind by more than a touchdown all season long. They fell behind by two scores for the first time in week 17, 18, actually, against Pittsburgh. So, like, they did, to say they never played from behind, they never played from behind. Like, that's not hyperbole. They never played from behind.
Well, I don't remember what the circumstance was. It seemed like it was not necessarily a 2 minute warning, but when we were in a position to close out the Browns at home, and we were 3 and out, we didn't do it. We had an opportunity. It's just like when the going gets tough and we're not playing from the lead, I think that's where he needs to calm down and dig deep. And I'm not saying he hasn't. I mean, you know, he's picked up huge fourth down plays and things like that, but that's my observation. What do I know? I'm just a guy who watches football, but guy's an exceptional talent. He's still a young man. And if he can, you know, if he can continue to grow, I think he'll be good. But you're right. I mean, as soon as the season was over, like, this is the season when the Steelers have no quarterback and Burrow missed the season. And I don't know what Watson is. I don't really think very highly of him, but the Browns are good and they would have been better with him, in my opinion. And you look at all that and you're like, is it going to be easy? And you're right. This is the team. This is the, I told my kids, in my opinion, this is the best Ravens team on both sides of the football that I can remember ever. The defense wasn't the best defense, and the offense may not have been the best offense, but combined, they were, I thought, the best team I'd seen. So it's really hard to not go to the next step.
But Mike Rosenfeld is here. He is our chief digital officer at Web Connection. I'm sorry, you had something else?
I was going to say, let me stop crying in my beer. You
No,
know,
no, it's all right.
the wounds are still, I'm still licking my wounds. It's not even been
Hey, we're in
12 hours.
Baltimore, and when you win, the beer is cold. When you lose, we give
Yep.
you free crab soup. So we're doing a
Let,
couple
let.
Super Bowl next week. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Window Nation, as well as Jiffy Lube MultiCare, and all of our sponsors, literally, your Wise Markets involved, our friends at Royal Farms. Everybody's going to be involved next week. Beginning on Monday, we're going to broadcast live from 9 until 5, webcast live from 9 until 5, and discuss 100 different charities. Dude, I thought it was going to be like a giant purple pep rally. Like I just,
I
and
know.
instead, I don't know. You know, I mean, we're doing this for the Maryland Food Bank. I hope people come out and do something nice. I'm at five awesome places in neighborhoods. By the way, I learned this from the food bank folks. They're giving me local pantries in all five areas, so the food stays local. So if you come to like Coco's in Laurelville, it's going to stay pretty much in that neighborhood, that area. Same thing in Dundalk, that they don't like take it down to some big tank and send it out to Gaithersburg. Not that that would matter if it's feeding people, but they like for food to like, you know, happen. You bring it on Monday, we're going to eat it on Tuesday or Wednesday. And the best way to do that is to keep it local. So I'm going to learn, dude. I mean, it's going to be a week of education. We're going to learn about 100 different charities. Some of them you've never heard of, right? Some of them, you know, everybody's heard of Casey Cares, and everybody's heard of, you know, There Goes My Hero and whatnot. But I'm getting these inbound charities, and I'm like, what is that? And I look it up. I'm like, that seems like a good story to tell. So we're going to tell that story. What do you think?
I think it's awesome. I think you're doing a continue to do a great service for the city. I do want to, if I can, I want to end on something half full instead of half empty, which
Please
is
do. Please do. Yes.
I ask you, well, I don't need to ask you, you know, and your listeners to just remember how it used to be going from the end of football season, knowing that you were going into a horrendous Orioles season and you had to wait until summer practice for the Ravens to
For
start all
hope.
over again. We're very fortunate enough, and I'm not buying it yet, but I watched the Terps play this weekend. They had the best game. They're at 500 in the conference. I don't have high hopes that they'll make the tournament, but they're at 500. So, you know, we can try to close this chapter, and instead of like the last, I don't know, 15 of 17 years. We have something to transition into. Spring training starts soon. We got March Madness. So let's be grateful the fact that we at least have that. And that's the way I'm going to look at it. And maybe some others will too.
Bryan Adams has a new album called So Happy It Hurts. I would advise you to pick up a copy of that and go listen to some happy songs. He wrote a whole album of how great life can be.
Okay, maybe I'll do that literally when we're done.
It's upbeat. So happy it hurts. There you go.
Let's
You
go.
know, shine a
Yeah.
light, shine a light. He's Mike Rosenfeld. He shines a light on all things web. He is our chief digital officer. He can help you if your website's effed up, or if you don't have one, or you need one, or you're like, hey, how do I work this? He's there for you at webconnection.com. I've been visiting with all sorts of folks this week. Coach Billick's coming on. Dwan Edwards is joining us. Todd Heap's going to come on later this week. You know, I kind of had Ed Mulitalo's coming on, Russ Tucker's coming on, Matt Stover's coming on. I mean, I had all of this sort of Victor Brick's coming on to talk about John W. Brick Foundation because he can't come next week. So I had all these people coming on to do all this rah, 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 and now it's rah. So I don't know. I'm here doing purple therapy, trying to hold it together so we could do Crab Cake Row next week. And I hope that everybody comes out, pick a day, pick an afternoon, stop out, have a beer, have a bowl of soup, do something nice for the Maryland Food Bank, for people in your community who need to be fed. It's
I feel
important.
better. I feel better after this conversation. Thank you. Thank you,
Purple
Dr.
therapy.
Nestor. Thank you, Dr. Nestor.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm a rabbi, a priest, a
Yeah.
dudist rabbi priest, I think is what I am. So
All right. It's all good.
Yeah, I'm a dude of something. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We're still eliminated, but we're still Baltimore positive, and pitchers and catchers report soon, I promise.